In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the blessed Lord Jesus, I welcome all of you and say a very happy, blessed New Year to everyone. Last night, I could not stay back to wish you all personally because there was another call to preach and I was afraid to be late. So some of you saw me rushing away, not escaping anything but going to another service. It is so good to welcome all visitors, worshippers and friends from near and far. We have a sister just came back from Canada, just flew in yesterday. How good. And now, before I forget, it is my great joy to welcome into our membership Alice Tanada. Please come on stage here. She missed last week, so she's here today. Alice comes from Surabaya, Indonesia, and we welcome her to our fellowship as a member. And here is her certificate, and here is a daily remembrance for her to read. Will all members of this church only, members, please kindly stand and welcome Alice. Now a word of explanation and apology for my bad throat. I pray God will heal me in this new year of this awful throat, but I think it needs to be born again. Now, I understand there's a lot of congestion upstairs, as well as some at the back here. Maybe it's good we put back all those yellow, old yellow chairs there and let the Sunday school children who leave us after the third hymn to sit here, all this place. Then there will be no need for those, our friends upstairs, to stand and find no place and so congested upstairs and some at the back here. So give this a thought, maybe next week. Put up all those yellow, old yellow chairs. We can put 50, 60 of the children here. And after the children's hymn, once they go, there'll be a lot of space here. So that is one idea. The other thing is we may eventually open up the new sanctuary and with closed-circuit television beam the service into the next auditorium. By the way, have you all seen it? Just one floor up, it takes over 400 seats. Amazing. The Lord has given us this beautiful facility. So these are by ways of explanation. And also to friends and visitors, please, we apologize if you feel neglected. We do not have all the people and the manpower to extend that warm welcome. Perhaps they are looking for and say, why this church, they don't welcome me so much. Please, if we are short in that area, do forgive us. But we will try. But the thing is, let everyone feel part of the team. No sooner than you are part of the team, then you reach out and you think and ask yourself, how can I be useful for the Lord? How can I serve Him here? Can I become a welcomer also? That solves many problems. So this is my opening words to you. What message do you think we need to hear from the Lord for this first year? It's a kind of a keynote message. Surely on the first day of this new year, you want to hear something that God has for us in His Word. Surely, that's how we all face the new year. Lord, what is it you want us to know and to do? So for that, please turn to 2 Peter. And it is always good for us to remember who the writer was. For once you do, it helps you to understand what he is writing all about. Who wrote this epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3? Answer is Peter, of course. And who is Peter? Who was Peter?
Dear friends, it is important for us to understand. Peter was the one famous for denying the Lord three times. Also known for his contrition and repentance, how immediately after that, how he wept bitterly. But more important is that after that, the Lord Jesus did not write him off. As many men would do, you deny me three times at the critical moment, you're finished. You're no more useful. Our Lord Jesus is so kind. He is the one who is so compassionate, understanding, merciful, gracious. And that is the word we are going to focus our attention on this morning. Grace. Growing in grace. And this was on the mind of Peter when he wrote this epistle. I want to recall to you that morning on the seaside of Galilee, how the Lord called Peter a second time. You can call this a recommissioning of Peter. And he said, all of us remember this very well, how the Lord said to Peter, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, you love me, truly. Three times reminding him of his failure, but three times followed with a gracious word, you are needed. So good, isn't it? For any one of us here to hear from the Lord, you are wanted. I want you, despite your failure. So here is Peter, years later, writing so tenderly. Why? Because the Savior gave him that commission. Feed my sheep. Now you have one function, one duty, one privilege, one joy. We all have as pastors. You as a father or mother in your home, feed your sheep. In your home, they are your responsibility. Look at first chapter 1 and see what Peter has in mind when he wrote this. Chapter 1 verse 12. Peter remembering how good the Savior was to him, and the commission he had received, I say, we are reminded also. Verse 12, he says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. What things? All the essentials of our faith. The faith which was once given to us, delivered unto the saints. It's so important we always go back to the Word of God. Verse 13. Peter says to us, yes, I think it is meet or needful as long as I am alive in this tabernacle, in this body, which is soon to expire. Oh, how moving and how touching. Peter writes to you and to me. He says, even though I know the days of my life on earth are numbered, for shortly I know I will face death by whatever execution. He says, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this physical body, verse 13, the last part now, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of the teachings given to us in this holy book, the Bible. And I say there is no better New Year gift to you than to give you this portion of the Word of God in focus. Yes, I cannot give you the whole Bible. That is for you to study daily, page by page, chapter by chapter. But in this morning's context, he says, I will put you in remembrance of what the Lord wants you to know. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, 15, I will endeavor that ye may be able after I am gone. How touching are those words from one who is so dear to his people. After I am gone, do not forget the things that God has given to me to give to you for your welfare, for your protection, for your everlasting blessing. Do not forget. I will not be here to remind you anymore because God has a time and I have to go. But you remember, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now that gives us the context of this morning's message. The Lord who died for us to purchase our redemption, to make us to be children of God, members of the church, members of the body of Jesus Christ, continues to have an interest in us. And he wants us all not just to be born again and remain babes, but after being born again to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, but grow in grace. This is our memory verse for this morning. Are you growing or are you going? My dear friends, is your spiritual life growing or going to the dumps? This is a very pertinent message, a pertinent question this morning. Why should a Christian remain a newborn babe after 10 years, 20 years being a Christian, never grow? Can it be? Answer is, sadly, yes, it is. Why should a Christian remain always a babe in Christ? I say, if you remain always that newborn babe and never grow, you cannot be effective in his service. Think of this, please. Why did Jesus save us? We know that saying, save to serve. We all must serve. We all must be useful for the Lord, every one of us. We must learn to be useful, but you must grow. If you continue to be a newborn babe, I say very sad. You need to be chaperoned, looked after, carried along, and supported all the time. Why should it be, I say, to this congregation on this first day of the new year? God has a message. And I say, Calvary Pandan, members, take heed. God loves you, saved you, bought you with his own blood, put you into the church to be a child of God here, a member. What for? Answer, that you may grow. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge, then be effective, useful in service for the Lord. Then this church will grow and thrive and extend and reach out to all those who are still outside. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. In this verse, we are reminded, and I say it is very important, very pertinent. In a thriving metropolis like Singapore, especially when towards the end of the year, everything in Singapore is looking up. We have not suffered any tsunami. We have not suffered any kind of pestilence like SARS and bird flu. It didn't hit us. No terrorism. Everything is peaceful, and according to our M.M. Lee, we are poised for growth. Now, this is good in as far as material things are concerned. We thank God for it. We're not against growth, against prosperity, against peace. All these things are necessary. But, dear friends, I want you all to realize this. Every opportunity of peace, prosperity, and affluence, is given to God's people for a purpose. Ask yourself, if God left heaven's glory, he who was rich for our sakes, he became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. He became poor for us. What must we do? You see, there must always be this response, this reaction. If God is so good to me, what must I do for him? There is a gospel debt we all not got to pay. So I say, back to what I mentioned just now, this kind of great progress in Singapore, everything is booming ahead of us, more predictions of boom. The tendency and the temptation is we all get caught up in this. And very soon people become worldly because they got more money to spend and more worldly things to enjoy. Very soon you get lukewarm, cold towards the things of God, and you don't know how to serve, where to serve, what to do. You're finished. Peter is very, very concerned. Let Singapore thrive for this world. But I want to say this. This peace that we have will be short-lived. The global prophetic thermometer is not here. But in the Middle East, we were there in September, October, and the Jews had just withdrawn from Gaza. You know that, you've read about it. Today, and we saw it with our eyes, they are building a wall around Bethlehem, a wall that is about 20 feet high, a wall that goes around to separate Jews from Arabs so that the Jews are protected. This wall is a very expensive undertaking to surround the whole city. And another wall is coming around Jerusalem. When all these things are done, the Jews will sit back and say, now, peace, security. We keep out the terrorists. Within the walls, we are safe. And the word of God tells us this. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like a woman in labor. All you ladies who have had children, you understand this. Once a woman starts in labor, there's nothing under the sun, nothing on earth that can stop that baby coming out. There's nothing. So this expression given by our Lord is this. When men shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. I say, Singapore prosper is good, but understand, the calm before the storm, the peace, the lull before the explosion is all there. Understand that we are to use this time of peace for the extension of God's kingdom. For no sooner than we are prosperous and booming and going places, destruction suddenly will come upon planet Earth. Then you say, where is our security? Now everybody is running for the dollar. I say, be careful. Look at verse 7. The heavens and the earth which are now, and all the wonderful works and prosperity that is going on, the big corporations and new buildings coming up, the two casinos and all the complexes being built around the Sentosa Island and the marina, all these things, what? Please look at verse 7. Are kept in store, reserved under fire against the day of judgment of and perdition of ungodly men. God is in full and final control. We are not. Please understand, we are mere pawns on the chessboard. We have moved around. Only God is in control, and he is in full and absolute and complete control. And when he says, time up, is time up. So verse 7 is for you and for me today. Please wake up. New Year brings us prosperity. What do you say? I say, thank God. May this year give us new opportunities for gospel witness. If your income is better, you can do something more for the Lord because God has enabled you, not because of your own wisdom and power and intelligence and IQ. All those things are given by God. Without Him, we can do nothing. So I say, understand this. All the things on earth one day will become nothing. Then you say, what are we living for? Exactly. This is the question I want to leave with you. What are we living for? Why are we here? We are here, put here, in order that we may hear the gospel, be called out of the perishing world, to become the church of God, and to become messengers of salvation to those who are still outside. For planet Earth is in orbit. This year, we got 365 days ahead of us. And in 365 and a quarter days, the Earth will be back to square one, where it began. In 1 year, it goes around the sun once. We are only passengers on this planet Earth, understand? Sojourners, put here. And our time, when it's up, we are out of it, out of this system. And this whole system, one day will be burned up. Therefore, do not put your hopes in this system that is on planet Earth, because it will be burned up. Now, verse 11. Here is the application of the message. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, all the big buildings and multinational corporations, all the airlines, all the banks and the businesses of the industries, everything. Verse 11, please, do not put your heart and your future and your hopes in these things. Why? Verse 11 says, all these things shall be dissolved. Then you, as reasoning people, dear friends, do you reason? Thank God that we all have a sound mind, don't we? A mind that can think, contemplate, reason, and say, if all these things will be burned up, what must we do? We must take steps to ensure that we have a security that goes beyond these things that will be dissolved, that will be burned up. Verse 11, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The only thing that will survive all these trials and all these destruction that will come on earth, the only thing is what? Verse 11, please follow. What manner of persons ought you to be? How are you living today? Ask yourself. You know, God knows, I don't know. And I say, in the quietness of this moment, ask yourself, how am I living? How have I lived 2005? Last year, how did you live? Now, I pray that God's Spirit will convict our hearts. Show to us those areas where we have failed, wasted our time, our talents, and put our energies into wrong things. Are there any areas? You know, God knows. And at this time says, what manner of person ought I to be? You can decide this. I cannot do for you. You decide that this moment you're going to make right with God. Lord, last year I did not do the things I ought to have done, but this year, give me an opportunity. Give me a chance, Lord. All right, go on. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? What is holy conversation? You know, we walk in a very sinful world. You don't need great intelligence to know that. And you got to make every effort to get out of the sinful environment you live in. We have no escape except in the gospel and in the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit, the only escape, the only security. And this is what it means here, in all holy conversation. How can you live a holy life in an unholy environment? This is the problem. Yes, can you do it? Answer is, By yourself? No. Impossible. So the Lord says to us in John 15:5, abide in me, for without me you can do nothing. So you got to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you abide in him? How? It's not easy, I say, but it's worthwhile. Not easy, yeah. But is it worthwhile? Yes, it's worthwhile. And if you know that it is worthwhile, you will want to make that effort. Without me, nothing. Therefore, come to the Lord Jesus in your daily communion. I have printed for you a card this morning. All of you have got the card, haven't you? Yes, here it is. If you don't have, we've got more supplies. My dear friends, I didn't print this for nothing. It takes time. It takes expense and effort to produce this. But it is for a purpose that it may help you. It may help someone to make a new start for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't live your life for yourself. He who died for you has a plan and a purpose for you to make you useful for him. And this card is to help you. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? Here it is. Number one, dear friends, if the Spirit of God has spoken to you, you put a tick in this first square, right? It's up to you. It's up to you. Nobody can force you to do what you don't want to do, but the Holy Spirit can convict your heart and constrain you to do. Why? Because it is good for you that you can live a holy life in an unholy environment that is Singapore today. All right, number one, are you willing? Will God speak to you? Will the Holy Spirit touch your heart and say, you have been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to the Lord. And he says, will you walk with me every day? The Lord says, I am with you always until the end of the world. Jesus is waiting to walk with you. Are you willing to walk with him? I say, Singapore offers you plenty of pleasures today. Amazing amount of entertainment and opportunities at every street corner to sin, to enjoy yourself with fleshly things, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, everything you name it, you have it convenient. You don't have to run very far. You don't have to be very intelligent. It is already made for you to entice you. But verse 11 speaks to you. I say, may God speak to you. What manner of persons ought you to be? You are saved, redeemed with the blood of Christ, bought with a price. You ought to be holy in your living and in godliness. Why? Because all these things will be dissolved. Are you willing then to say, Lord, I promise you, I want to walk closely with you. Number one, put a tick in that square if the Spirit of God speaks to you. Number two, I will devote 30 minutes. Have you got 30 minutes? Dear friends, I want to remind you, you got 24 hours a day. 24 hours. That is 48 times 30 minutes. 48 times. Can you spare one out of the 48, 30-minute slots for the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes or no, it's up to you. You have time for everything, time for anything you want, but no time for the Lord. Is that so? Ask yourself. Third one, to make prayer meeting the first priority. Oh, how can I spare the 2 hours, 3 hours going to prayer meeting? The last thing I want to go in the week is the prayer meeting. Let the old people go and pray. My life is to be enjoyed while I can. I got television series to watch. I got so many things to keep myself busy. How can I go to prayer meeting? If that is so, I say you cannot be effective for the Lord. Why don't you come to prayer meeting? This is a place where we go on our knees, where we plead with the Lord, and he begins to change your life and to make you useful for him. And the church can grow, and the church can be a blessing to other people. Because what? You came to pray. Come to pray. put a tick there if you want to be part of the team of praying people. Number four, how is the Lord's day to you? You say, this fellow always tells us the same thing. They call me the holy nagger. I say, yes, I am the holy nagger. I am God's nagger. For the Lord's sake, for your sake, I nag you. I tell you, the Lord's day is the Lord's day. You steal the Lord's day to your own cost. Yes. You cannot be blessed if you do not honor the Lord on His day. You will miss many blessings He has for you, for me. You come. This, starting from tonight, a new series called Apocalypse. You say, what is that? Apocalypse? Revelation. Things to come. Futurology. Holy futurology. God's futurology. You want to know the future? Come tonight. The last series attracted 700 to 800 people every night. How about tonight? Will you come? Some of you say, well, I will consider. I will consider maybe I will come mentally. Mentally I come, but physically I stay at home. I mean, friends, this is for you. These are printed. There will be notes for you. How can you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ if you refuse the facilities, the opportunities ready-made for you, tailor-made for you? Everything. You don't have to go to America to study this. You can have it right here tonight. Will you come? All right, that's number five. Number four. Number five, will you speak or track for the Lord weekly at least? Why not? The Lord says, if you're ashamed of me, in the day to come, I will be ashamed of you. Are you ashamed of the Lord to tell somebody you are a Christian and that it is good to be a Christian, because it is the only worthwhile thing to be on planet Earth is to be a Christian. The only worthwhile thing. Go and tell somebody. So these are the five things on this card. You take home, pray about it, put in the squares, and God help you by the Holy Spirit. You come and be part of this team. Verse 12 now, please. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, every day in 2006 brings us nearer one day to the kingdom of God, to the coming of the Savior. Is that your focus? I ask you very frankly. You say to me, what is a focus? Exactly, I ask you, what is your focus? What is the thing that grips your attention, your mind? Every morning when you wake up, what is the first thing that catches your attention? What is it? I know those who are caught by the golf bug. 5 a.m., they wake up, they polish the golf sticks and carry their golf clubs and they go. 6 a.m., on the tee, right, ready to go. Ready to go, raring to go. No time. No time for God, time for golf. They go. I say, what is your focus? Let your focus, every member of Calvary Pandan, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, if you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, and He says, I'm coming again. He says, from heaven, behold, I come quickly. Are you ready? Now read verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, are you? Again, I ask you, are you? Are you looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? For when He comes, you who are ready for Him shall have no regrets. No regrets. If not, I say, regrets that cannot be repaired, cannot be. Too late. Do not wait. Be diligent. Diligent means you got to be hard at work for your own good. You got to be diligent to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus Christ has gone to the cross to die for you, suffered the agony for you. What have you suffered for Him? You say you are a Christian and you do nothing, I say you are not a worthy Christian. So be diligent. Pay some attention. Give some effort. Give some time, special time, like the one who wakes up at 5 a.m. to play golf. How about you wake up at 5 a.m. to kneel down and speak to God and to read the Bible and to take a course and to increase in knowledge, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Peter wrote this epistle in order that all those who read, all those who pay attention, all those who practice, maybe what? Verse 14, please follow. Be diligent that you may be found of him when he comes. When the Lord comes, will he find you, the last part of verse 14, in peace. Please pay attention. Follow there. In peace. Will he find you in peace? Without spot? Blameless? Yes or no? You know. I say God has a wonderful plan for all of us who are willing to submit to him. The plan is available. All you have to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes. I want to be part of that plan. I want to be diligent. I want to live a holy life for you. I want to come and serve you in your house, in my home, wherever I go. I want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, it says here, when he comes, you will be in peace, not in terror, without spot. Why? Because you have walked with the Lord closely, away from all the temptations and sinful places of Singapore. Indeed, walking with Jesus today is not that easy. You got to make an effort. You got to be diligent. And you got to switch off your television, your computer at the right time. And do not fall into the temptation of computer sins right at your fingertips, available anywhere, in your bedroom, in your study, anywhere. These things are there, put by Satan to tempt you, to cause you to fall and to sin and to become useless for the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware, be diligent, so that when he comes, he'll find you free from all those computer sins. Free from all those television sins, without spot and blameless. Now we come to the crunch verse, the final verse. Grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you mean by grow in grace? How can you grow in grace? You can grow taller, young people, you grow taller, children grow taller, old people grow older. Yeah. What do you grow in? I say, but Peter is concerned that we all grow in grace. Now you ask me, what is to grow in grace? I give you very simply, that you can understand and I can understand. To grow in grace is to grow like the God of grace. That's all. To grow like the Lord Jesus. What is grace? Grace will show us favor undeserved. Free favor undeserved. That is grace. And grace comes only from the God of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he can give grace, no one else. Now this verse says, you, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to grow in grace. All right, I say it again. It means that you as a believer, called a Christian, grow to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to grow in grace. All right, what is the Lord Jesus Christ like? Look at the Gospels. Read through and see how he conducted his life. Did he ever at any time unreasonably lose his temper and throw tantrums? Yes or no? Then why should you not be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it some mothers or fathers at home throw tantrums, get so mad, and lose temper, and use bad language? How come? You're Christian. Grow to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask yourself, I'm a Christian, I wear the name of Christian. People know I'm a Christian. How much am I like Christ? You see, this is growing grace. I say, therefore, examine ourselves. If we have not grown at all in 2005, make 2006
different.
Start the new year right. Begin the new year with God. Take this and study it. Pray through it. Yeah, this is for your own blessing and your own benefit, that you will walk closely with the Lord. Study Jesus Christ, His conduct, His lifestyle, all His life. Does Jesus Christ go to the places for entertainment? You read the Gospels. Please read through. Grow in grace means be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Only follow Him and not the pop stars, not the pin-up people, not the world. There's so many models being held up for people to follow today. Who is your hero? Let me ask you, young men, young women, who is your hero? Make the Lord Jesus Christ your hero. He who died, He who came from heaven's glory, He is my hero, because He only went to the cross for me. He only can give me everlasting life. He is my hero. I follow Him. I will grow in grace. You do the same, dear friends. Yes, love not the world, the things that are of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the way you want to show style and follow the fashions of the world. You can never be like the Lord Jesus. You will never grow in grace if you follow the world. You can never be that. Grow in knowledge. Verse 18, the second part of a memory verse. Grow in knowledge. Now, my dear friends, I will tell you the secret. When I was Sunday school superintendent in Prinsep Street, 1954, that is 51 years ago, 52 years, I found the most difficult thing is to tell people, read your Bible. They agree, they go home, they read one night, finish. After that, where to read? What to read, how much to read, when to read, nobody knows. And all the nice resolutions, all the exhortations fall flat and nobody reads the Bible, right? Let me ask you honestly, how many of you read your Bible daily? How many? Show me your hands, please. How many of you read your Bible daily? How many? None? Wow. Well, where am I? Please. I know your hands are very heavy, very heavy. You cannot lift them like this. Okay, I won't ask you anymore because it is no use asking. But you know we have here, what I found in Prinsep Street is, we got to give people helps. So in those days, it was Scripture Union daily bread notes. I promoted it so much so that Life Church became the biggest consumer of Scripture Union material in the whole of Singapore. Yes. Why? Because I knew the weakness of members. You tell them to read, nobody reads. So after Scripture Union, we've done our own RPG. Right? Now RPG comes in various forms and shapes and languages. Here is normal RPG. What is normal? That's for all of you. Adults. RPG. RPG, read, pray, grow. Pray, grow, so that you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells you every day how much to read, where to read, and how to read. And it gives you a little introduction, gives you a little conclusion, a little prayer, helps you along. Yes, but the main thing is it leads you to read the Bible, the Word of God, not the notes. In itself, not the notes in itself. The notes are only to help you. How many of you are reading this? It's available there, free of charge. Right? Now, for those who are in the teenage, some of them say it's a bit too difficult. Okay, true or untrue, I don't know, but here it is. Since you say you are teenage, you don't understand the adult one, here is teenage RPG. Small kids, children's RPG. What else do you want? We give you everything. You say, well, I don't understand Chinese, English. Here's Chinese. Okay. So we've done all these things, dear friends, but you got to feed. I cannot eat for you. I cannot read for you. I read, I grow. You read, you grow. It doesn't mean I read, you grow. It cannot be. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever, now in the year 2006, now only, how many hours old? Just about 12 hours old. May God help you in this year. Every day to think, every day to say, Lord, I want to walk closely with you. Yes, I want to. Can any Christian here say, I don't want to? Say so. And it's right there. Say, Lord, I don't want to walk close with you. You dare to write it, you write it down. But I say, if you are a genuine Christian, you will say, yes, Lord, I want to walk with you. And I want to give my time to you. 30 minutes out of 48 times 30 minutes, is it too much? You ask yourself, what is your priority? Prayer meeting? Come here and pray? And to give your time for the Lord? And to come on sunset gospel hour, 6 p.m. every Sunday? Is it too much? Too much? Say so. Tell the Lord it's too much. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, for it is truth. It is love of God spread abroad to us. Even the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, speak to all present here this morning that we will resolve, we who have received so much of the grace of God, will return our lives to Him for His use to make 2006 a year of great blessing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.